folks, the microphones are on. It is the bewitching hour. Tonight's city council meeting is called to order. I kindly ask our city clerk to take the roll call.
Chuck Brown. Donald Cummings.
Here.
Ralph Dantino. Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Dean Kilberg.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Fantastic. We've got a nearly full house. Pledge of Allegiance. We always begin, gentlemen, our city council meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I was wondering if these handsome dudes from Williamsburg Elementary School and my good friend John, who's homeschooled, will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you guys do us the honor? And we'll follow your lead, gentlemen.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, guys. If the council does not object, I'd like just to dance around the agenda just a bit. I'd like to jump to item four, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening?
Mr.
Marks?
Could we move off the consent agenda, item 11G?
11G. Anything else?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to have item G removed, the ordinance regarding the...
That's what Alderman questions. Marks indicated as well.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You could check it out. 11G.
Alderman. Okay. Fine.
Yeah. You got it. Right. We will take a motion then on the omnibus agenda as amended, which includes the removal of item 11G. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Maladra with enthusiasm. Flanagan makes the second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
The omnibus agenda passes. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience who are here for an item that has an asterisk next to it, your item has been considered and approved except for item 11G. Therefore, if you wish to exit, because I'm sure you have more enjoyable things to do, you're more than welcome to do so. How's that, Philip Chuck? Yeah, I know there is, but still. I was hoping for a way to go. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, under item 3A, we'll move red ribbon to 3B. I would like to entertain the motion to open a public hearing on the consideration of the Roquette annexation.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks makes the motion. Alderman Hill makes the second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 This public hearing, Mr. Radovich, do you want
to? Yeah, I'm just going to interject here. I mean, I didn't realize that the council was going to skip to the omnibus so quickly. So when we get done with the public hearing, then I would like a readaption of 11D, E, and F.
Got it.
Because we've jumped out of order here.
I don't see my public hearing.
The public hearing was published in the Daily Herald. Should be on the agenda, item 3.
Just lists public hearing special items and presentations.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's but sufficient? Is
correct. And there was a publication in the Daily Herald for the public hearing.
The public hearing on this matter, the Roquette annexation to the city of Geneva, is open. If anyone wishes to address this matter for the benefit of the council and community, We'd invite you to do so by stepping to the podium, sharing with us your name and address, and presenting your remarks. Seeing no one from the audience, how about from the dais? Seeing no requests from the dais, I will entertain a motion. Is it okay if we close it first, or do you want that action in the public hearing?
No, that's fine. Mr. Mayor, just for the public's point of view here, this is an annexation of approximately a six-acre parcel on Couch Road next to the current Roquette facility, and it's an annexation agreement, and then subsequently to this public hearing, there should be the action to consider the approval of the annexation agreement, the annexation of the property itself, and then the rezoning of that six-acre site.
Do you want those as separate actions?
Okay, oh, yeah, that'll be after the public hearing is closed.
Got it. I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Marks makes the motion. Mr. Singer makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 The public hearing is closed. Do you want me to jump to that now, Mr. City Attorney? Do you want me to continue on through the issues?
It's up to you, Mr. Mayor. There's also 11A and 11G, which need to be considered. So if you want to go through the rest of the agenda, and then when we get to that point, we'll adopt it.
Excellent. We are down to bills for payment. No, we're not. Where are we? Red Ribbon Week. Forgive me. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm all messed up tonight. My apologies. We have some special guests with us this evening to present some information to us that we have benefited from for a number of years, and they are our representatives from Geneva High School to talk to us about Red Ribbon Week. Welcome, ladies.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Gillette, and I'm a health teacher at Geneva High School. This is my 11th year working at Geneva High School and working with the SAD Club, which stands for Students Against Destructive Decisions. With me today is Haley Person. She is one of our co-presidents of the SAD Club this year, and she's a junior. This is her third year working with the SAD Club. And so she wrote a little speech for you to talk about what Red Ribbon Week means to her and thanking you for supporting this endeavor.
Thank you. Ms. Person, welcome.
Thank you. And good evening. My name is Haley Person. And I would just like to thank you all for allowing me your precious time at your meeting to recognize the importance of Red Ribbon Week. The entire nation celebrates this week each year to send a message to the community about taking responsibility for your health and making mature decisions regarding substance abuse. The Red Ribbon Committee of Geneva has put together a folder of information for you that provides tips for families and how they can help their children and teens build strong assets to stay on the right track away from substances. We know that there is a lot of pressure on teens to try to fit in with different crowds, and a lot of pressure that is placed on their own precipitations of what normal behavior looks like. The Red Ribbon Committee and the SAD Club tries to send a different message to teens and let them know what the real norm is. Now, most teens aren't using drugs on the weekends. Then they spend most of their times with families and friends in a safe way and act as positive role models for younger children in the community. There's so much peer pressure in high school that it is truly really hard to avoid. There's always talk about kids not making the right choices. Why do they do this to themselves? Is it because they're bored, because they want to be cool, or simply because they aren't looking at the big picture? What kids don't realize is that there's a lot of choices you make now can affect you in the long run. I always try my best to make good choices. Addiction runs in my family, so I've been raised to be smart enough to stay away from drugs and alcohol. I'm so lucky to have great parents who taught me good morals like that. So to avoid situations that put me in a bad place, I come up with my own natural highs, things I do because it makes me feel good without being under the influence, like going to concerts, snowboarding, taking photos, hanging out with friends, running, and so many other things that make me feel great inside. And I can only do them because my parents trust me enough, because they know I will avoid negative influences. Also, I try always to fill my empty time. Kids I know that have made poor choices do it mainly because they are bored, which is a terrible reason. So instead of always going to parties or hang out with the wrong crowd, I have a job. I'm involved with school clubs, volunteer often, and also spend my time with my family. Keeping busy is a great way to avoid putting myself in bad situations, and it makes me feel very productive and more like a mature person. There's a natural high for everyone. They just have to find what it is. I'm glad to say that the best me is always drug-free. Now, if you can please take a moment to look at the folders at your leisure and try some of the ideas with your family, as well in the community. And thank you again for your attention to this important celebration.
Thank you, Ms. Person.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any comments from this person? Have you taken the ACT test yet?
Not yet. That's the end of this year.
It's the end of the year. Okay, got it. I've got my answers if you need them.
They will.
Math hasn't changed yet, has it, Mr. Marks?
I think that has changed.
That's
since
shucks.
You and I were in school.
My name is Julie Puyi, and I reside at 1635 Kimes Circle. I'd just like to interject. She talked about a folder, but this year we didn't do folders because all the information, there's so much current information on the web, and you just hate to give you anything that's really not that current and gets thrown out. So I just didn't pass on that information, so I apologize for that. When I first agreed to be the chair for Red Ribbon Week 4 years ago, I thought Red Ribbon Week was simply about teaching kids to say no to drugs and alcohol. And if we all joined together and told them how destructive these substances truly are, then on some level we would achieve success. And I believe this was prevention. But in fact, what I quickly came to understand was that prevention is much more than telling your kids drugs are bad. Prevention is honoring our children for who they are and what they believe in. Prevention is about honoring and fostering their dreams. Prevention is about giving our children a regular platform for expressing themselves while we listen attentively, hearing their words and their meanings. Prevention is so much more than just saying no and must be a part of every day. So please remember this as we move into this year's Red Ribbon Week festivities. And what I've done is I've given you the calendar of events, but I'd just like to highlight a few of the events. Of course, the hanging of the ribbons, that will be on 3rd Street and State Street. The Candlelight Vigil, which is my personal favorite event. Haley will be speaking there also. It is so special, and it's really about the kids, showcasing these kids. I remember the first year I went, my daughter said she would just left starry-eyed, and she said it was so wonderful because for her, she said, we always hear about the bad kids. And it was so nice to hear about kids like Haley, previous SAD Club members or presidents, other student council presidents who talk about what keeps them drug-free, about their passions in life. And that it inspires the adults. It inspires the children. It's really a great event. So if you can make it, we'd appreciate you showing up. We will be continuing the food pantry donations this year. Food pantry donations are at an all-time low. So what we're doing is we're working with the school district, and all the elementary schools are going to get together this year, and they're going to, rather than hold a contest to see who can bring the most in, they're all working collectively to see if we can bring in an unprecedented level for the food pantry. We're giving this year to First Baptist Church of Geneva because theirs happens to be the lowest. There will also be a blood drive this year, Harrison Street School, on Tuesday, October 23rd. It will be from 3 to 7 p.m. in the old gym, and walk-ins are welcome. There's the parent-to-parent series that Chick Williams, he gives twice a year, and this will be launching during Red Ribbon Week. There's information on the folders, or on the event sheet. Last and very important is the prescription drug collection program, and we would appreciate it if the community as well as the city board members will clean out their medicine cabinets of all the unused or unwanted prescription drugs or any other medication for that matter, prescription or otherwise. And if the community would like more information, they can visit us on our Facebook page, Geneva Coalition for Youth. Period. I almost said .org, but no, that's not it. So that's it.
I have a proclamation.
Yep.
Haley, would you like me to read that proclamation and present it to you?
Love it.
Notice the enthusiasm, gentlemen? So what happens when you become a junior in high school? All the excitement wanes. This is a proclamation. Red Ribbon Week, October 20th through the 27th, 2012. Whereas it is imperative that visible, unified prevention education and asset building efforts by community members be launched to reduce the demand and availability for drugs, and whereas the Illinois Drug Education Alliance, Governor's Office, State of Illinois, Community Intervention Team, Geneva Coalition for Youth, SAD, and MAD Illinois are sponsoring the Red Ribbon Campaign, offering citizens the opportunity to demonstrate their commitment to drug-free lifestyles and promotion of the healthy development of all citizens, young, middle, and elderly, and whereas businesses, government, law enforcement, schools, religious institutions, service organizations, youth, physicians, senior citizens, military, sports teams, and individuals will demonstrate their commitment to drug-free, healthy lifestyles by wearing and displaying red ribbons during the week-long campaign and carry the spirit and message of this week into each day this year until our next red ribbon, October 2013. And whereas the City of Geneva further commits its resources to ensure the success of the Red Ribbon campaign throughout this year until Red Ribbon 2013. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the City of Geneva does hereby support October 20th through the 27th, 2012, as Red Ribbon Week and encourages its citizens to participate in alcohol and other drug education and prevention activities, making a visible statement that we are strongly committed to a drug-free community. This year's theme, of course, the best me is drug-free. In witness whereof, I have hereunto signed my hand this 15th day of October 2012. I'll entertain a motion to so proclaim.
So moved.
Motion second. By Singer, seconded by Alderman Marks. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Like 10,000 copies of this distributed?
Thank you so much.
See you Sunday night, right?
Yep,
excellent.
Definitely.
Picture, man. Oh, sure. Some pictures.
That's where you live a lot. I'll hold that. You're the official representative.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You got your airbrush on the left side of that photo?
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Mr. Mayor, where will the banner be?
Well, it's traditionally displayed right here in the chamber.
Okay.
But, I'll defer to Mrs. McKittrick and if there's another better location. But we'll take wherever.
I just was wondering where.
Yeah, traditionally it's right displayed right here for the entire worldwide audience to enjoy. You know, I joke about the World Wide Web, but gentlemen, do you realize that this meeting is being broadcast on the World Wide Web? And we have actually, this is true, we have citizens of Geneva who are serving in the armed forces who watch this program, because I do receive emails from those men and women. It's amazing. So, now you're nervous to come up? I'll give you time to take a deep breath. Now we have a chance to consider the bills for payment. We kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $707,209.65.
I'll entertain a motion to pay the bills as read.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we accept the bills as read and also as presented on the city website for everyone to see.
Second.
A motion was offered by Alderman Flanagan and seconded by Alderman Singer. Is there a question, Alderman Hill?
No. I was just going to try to take Alderman Brown's place, but
recite Alderman Brown's comment.
I kind of raced in front of you. I'm sorry.
That's fine. No, that's fine.
We have a motion by Flanagan again and a second by Alderman Singer. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Item 10 is unanimous. We jump down to, in the interest of disposing of this matter, and by no means any disrespect, because it is indeed an important matter, I'd like to consider item 11D, 11E, and 11F. 11D is approval Ordinance number 2012-35, authorizing execution of annexation agreement with Roquette Properties Incorporated.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill makes the motion. Alderman Maladra makes the second. Any questions or comments from the dais or the audience? Hearing none, seeing none. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll. Mr. City Attorney.
And the mayor votes on this matter.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Gene Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Mayor Burns.
I proudly cast an aye vote. Item 11E is to approve Ordinance number 2012-36, annexing certain territory to the City of Geneva, which previously as described as the 6 acres thereabouts, Roquette Incorporated.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill makes the motion. Alderman Maladra makes the second. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Mayor Burns.
Aye. Item 11F is to approve Ordinance number 2012-37, amending Title 11, rezoning property as L1 Light Industrial District for Roquette Properties Incorporated.
Move approval again.
Second.
Alderman Hill makes the motion. Alderman Maladra. Always the groomsman, never the groom, makes the second. Questions or comments?
Yeah, the mayor does not vote on this matter, unless it were a tie or...
Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Motion passes. Special thanks to our friends from Roquette and, of course, the professional staff. We appreciate it very much. As we all know, this is a long time coming, but we're clearly satisfied with the results, and we're delighted to have Roquette as part of the community. So thank you. We're going to bounce back to item 11A, recommend resolution number 2012-96, restating and extending site plan approval for related to a nursing home facility, otherwise known as Meadowbrook Manor.
So move.
Second.
Alderman Singer makes the motion. Alderman Hill makes the second. Those of you who recall that it's authorized to extend this 1 year after the issuance of the first agreement, this matter is simply an extension of that said agreement, as explained by Mr. Unch last week. Are there any questions or comments regarding this issue? Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, it's not my intent to disallow the approval, but I voted against the facility because of the write-in, write-out, and so I'm going to continue to vote against the development. And I just feel that having a write-in, write-out is not an appropriate solution. So, and I feel dangerous. So, thank you.
Anyone else on the dais from the audience? A roll call is in order. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Nay.
Sam Hill.
Nay.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Mr. Mayor, half of the aldermen holding office voted for this proposition. In that case, the mayor has the right to vote.
I will vote aye, Mr. Clerk. And the motion does pass with, I believe, 7 affirmative votes, 2 nay votes.
No, that would be 6.
6?
It would be 6. That's
what with my vote, it would be 7.
It would be 6.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now, according to my scorebook, we are at item 11G, which was removed from the omnibus agenda by Alderman Marks, and that is to approve Ordinance number 2012-38, amending Title 11, adding Section 11-13-3, and amending Section 11-2-2 related to regulations and permit requirements for collection boxes. I'll entertain a motion to put this matter on the floor.
So moved.
Alderman Singer makes the motion. Alderman Marks makes the second. This matter can be deliberated.
A point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Hill.
Since this ordinance could have an effect on a church to which I belong, I believe I should recuse myself and will remove myself from the dais and not participate.
Very well. Thank you. Any questions from the dais? Any questions from the audience or comments from the audience, I should say? Madam? Oh, please do. Yes, welcome. There should be beverages and snacks up the podium.
So. Oh,
who forgot to put them out there?
I'm Linda Williams. I'm a 36-year resident of Geneva and a member of the Fox Valley Presbyterian Church on Eastside Drive in Geneva. I certainly appreciate all the work that has gone into researching and developing an ordinance in order to regulate the collection bins that have been considered an issue on Randall Road in particular. And I'm almost embarrassed, but not quite, to arrive here at the last moment. Typically, I'm pretty well informed, and I went along all summer reading the wonderful articles in the paper about those nasty collection bins down on Randall Road, never thinking that you were also considering our paper retrieval box on our parking lot at the church until about 3 days ago, when everyone was up in an uproar over at the church. And I talked to Sam Hill, who's my alderman, and he suggested I meet with Dick Unch to get information and clarification, which I did. Had a really good meeting with him. But I felt compelled to at least make a statement that sometimes ordinances with good intention have unintended consequences. In fact, most of them do in some way or another. And I feel like this one has an unintended consequence in regard to the paper collection that we've been doing on our church since 2007. I feel that this impending or this ordinance, by forcing us to take that paper collection piece and moving it up against the building of the church, which won't happen. We are not on a parking lot. We have landscaped land around the church, and I don't believe anyone can think of a church where you would have a dumpster collection box, not a dumpster, but a collection box appended to the building. Out where we are, and we have no access so that a truck could go in and unload it. So that's probably going to keep us from being able to do what we've been doing so well for since 07. So I feel like there was an unintended consequence there. What we have been doing, just to explain to the people who would not know, is that we've been contracting directly with a paper recycler who's actually they produce newsprint. And it's been on our property for those since 07. We collect newspaper only from our members. It is collected and cleaned twice a month, and I'm the one that's in charge of it. So I make sure that if it's full, they come and do it within 72 hours. We've never had blowing paper. We don't have debris, and no one leaves paper on the outside. So we haven't been part of the offense of what's being dealt with. So that is why I wanted to make that clear. We contracted directly with Abitibi Bowater. They didn't come and leave this on our property and then have people coming in from everywhere to leave paper. It's directly related to our earth stewardship for the church, where we try to help people become more aware of taking care of the earth to become greener. And so it's directly related to one of our mission projects in the church. So I think that I feel like that the ordinance is sort of like using a multi-purpose insecticide to kill a fly, and I'm one of the bees or the ladybugs that's getting hit with the insecticide, to put it in those terms. I understood from Dick Unch that we would not be required as a church to pay the $250 licensing fee. He did call me back and said he had clarified that, and that's wonderful, except that we're still left with a collection box and really no way to put it where it would be considered legal at this point. So I understand the difficulty. My son, who's an attorney, said to me, Ma, you got to go there and you got to have draft alternate legislation. I said, thank you, Carl. I can't do that. I don't have that. and I understand the difficulty of excluding people from ordinances. I think that that creates, I know that that probably creates issues. However, churches are already excluded from property taxes, just to throw that out. So I don't have something specifically in regard to a draft proposal, but I would ask the council to consider if there is some way to take something that has been successful and working for us without incident and without, in fact, if one of our members hadn't arbitrarily moved the darn thing a couple of weeks ago, you couldn't even see it from the street, but he decided it needed to be somewhere else and he moved it. So thank you very much. I'm asking that you maybe at least consider a way to redraft the ordinance that might allow us to continue. Thank you very much for your time.
Mrs. Williams, you're more than welcome to stand there if you'd like in case there's some questions that perhaps a council member might have. Are there any questions or comments from Mrs. Williams? I do want to advise the council, based on my conversation with the city attorney, that the ordinance as drafted, if it is the intent of the city council tonight to change ever so slightly this ordinance, it is legal counsel's advice that this would have to be remanded back to the Plan Commission, because a public hearing was held at the Plan Commission, opened, closed, testimony taken, et cetera. So in essence, we're at that stage, just so everyone knows. So.
I regret. Yeah. I would never do this. It's not my style.
You were out sailing somewhere, weren't you?
No, I've been right here. I've been right here. And I read it all in the paper, but it just seemed like, oh, my God, yeah, they're a mess. They've got all this stuff around them and da-da-da-da-da. And actually, to speak, even though he's not here, Alderman Hill was caught in the same thinking. He never thought about it until a week or so ago that it was the same thing. So, anyway.
Alderman Flanagan, then Alderman Maladra.
And there's no place that you could put that bin collection box closer to your building? You have investigated all, because I know that there was some side issues at one time that was allowable, and so wasn't there
site? I'm sorry. Help me.
In other words, not, you didn't have to put it in front of your building, right? You could put it on the side.
It's out
especially.
In the. I thought as the ordinance was drafted, it had to be attached to the main building or up against the main building.
Adjacent. And there's no side.
Adjacent to
the main building. But could it be on the side of
it,
the main
it
building?
It could, except that it is the side. The driveway and parking lot are the side of the building. And we would not, since it's unloaded by a truck, they would need to have a drive to get up to the building to get to it. You see what I'm saying? They would have to cross a curb, and we'd have to put in a driveway. And obviously, they're not going to be able to do that. So, we thought about it. We could put it up against the old garage that's in the back where the manse is around the side of that, because the old driveway is still there from when that was the pastor's residence years ago. But that's not our main building, as Dick Unch pointed out, and I agreed. So I appreciate your thinking on it, and I just can't – I haven't been able to come up with a way to manipulate the
loading and unloading of the truck.
Yeah.
I mean,
the loading of the truck. So I felt like I had to do this just because it was important not to just let it go by because I was scared to do this. So.
Alderman Maladra?
I'm sorry you were scared to do this. You did really well.
Well, thank you. Well.
I have a question for Director Unch. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I think it's probably best that you state for us the reasons we wanted to place the bins up against the building.
Oh, sorry.
Excuse me.
Please.
I want to see you and Mrs. Williams arm wrestle
for the microphone.
She would definitely win. The basis for the ordinance, and there actually was consideration given to both commercial properties and what I would refer to as non-residential properties in residential zoning districts. Our churches are such a use. The basic principle that the staff and ultimately the Plan Commission recommended focused on the idea of removing these collection bins from the parking field, from areas where vehicles are maneuvering, where vehicles at the end of parking rows are trying to see traffic coming and going in and out of the parking aisle. You know, parking lots gather snow. There tends to be a pileup of snow around these boxes that we've observed. There's an issue of fly dumping that readily occurs in parking areas where these bins are located. There are, in some instances, difficulties with the maintenance of these bins, and aside from fly dumping, just items intentionally left to be placed in the bin either can't be put in the bin because the bin is full, or people just decide to drop it next to the bin and not put it in the bin. The idea of placing the bin next to the building is that in making that requirement, we're taking the hazards and the safety issues out of the parking lot, putting the bin next to the building where it's under surveillance, where it's sort of in mind's eye, and that management of that facility, be it a commercial entity or be it a non-for-profit entity like a church or a school, that there's contact and there's surveillance and management of that bin on site. We feel that's more effectively accomplished by placing the bin directly next to the building. And so that's what the new regulation would require.
And it would be the main building.
Yes.
So I agree with that position. I also think that the reason that we tackled this ordinance to begin with is that there were numerous problems with bins that are located away from the buildings, just hanging out in parking lots and things like that. So although I appreciate that the church does a good job and keeps theirs in good condition and shape and things like that, I know for a fact that that's not the case all around town. And so what we're trying to do with this ordinance is get control of all around town. And I don't really see an easy way to start granting exceptions, because given that everybody has them in parking lots today, we give one exception, somebody's going to come and ask for another exception, et cetera, et cetera. So our intent with the ordinance was to find a way where we can continue to allow these collection boxes to exist. We've taken an approach that requires them to be against the building as a means of improving the maintenance of them. We've also required joint responsibility with the box owner and the business owner. So the whole ordinance is about control. I think that we have to avoid exceptions. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Any comments or questions from Mrs. Williams or Mr. Unch? Anyone from the audience care to chime in?
I guess, Dick, is it possible just to make an exception for religious organizations, or is that really just gutting the whole ordinance realistically?
Well, I think that venturing into that arena, I think you have to be careful how you approach that and creating two sets of rules for different types of entities and where you draw that line might pose some issues with the defensibility of the regulations themselves. The one point that I would make, and we certainly respect all of the religious organizations that we have in town. We have many. And there are other entities, public entities, that could be engaged in this kind of activity as well. And I think it does come down to deciding what principles are most important to anchor a regulation on. You could have a church or a school or some other entity not do as nice a job as church does in monitoring these kinds of collection facilities. We have evidence, photographic evidence, of locations, not in Geneva, but in other locations where schools have been engaged in activity and have these facilities in their parking lots. and frankly, just very embarrassing conditions present because the particular vendor didn't properly police the facility, and so you basically had just a pile that looked pretty much like a garbage heap next to a bin. And that was on a school, a public school property. So this problem isn't just one that surfaces on commercial.
Yeah. Is this going to hurt our recycling efforts then when we collect the electronic stuff at Public Works? That's not up against the building.
I mean, we live by our ordinances.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking all of a sudden when you said public entities. I mean, is this going to put our on?
We should probably look at that.
Yeah.
But we live by our rules just like everyone else does.
I mean, I'd hate to have a citizen come up and say, guys, here it is.
We live by our ordinances just like our citizens do.
Okay.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Cummings.
Linda, I'm wondering how many pounds of paper the church brings in.
How many pounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a satellite view of the church, and indeed there doesn't seem to be anywhere, even on the far east side. You can't drive a truck on a sidewalk; it would crush a sidewalk. So it doesn't look like there's anywhere to put a bin. You know, so we're looking at three things: we can either create an exception to the ordinance, we can change the ordinance to remove it from having to be against a building. I don't like the idea of either one of those. Or the third would be to ask the facility to change a collection type or method, and I really think that's probably our only, method left.
I'm going to amplify with the mayor, if you don't mind, Mr. Mayor. This matter was vetted before the Plan Commission with a certain petition that was presented by the staff. So if there's an attempt to try to carve out some exception that might involve equal protection, and there has to be a rational basis for it. And to do that at the city council level, not through the public hearing process, I think would be inappropriate. So of your first alternative, Alderman Cummings, I think that would be a problem, as you point out, to make something exception to the ordinance tonight.
Well, we could have to put it back to the Plan Commission to look at.
Correct, yes.
We do have a motion and a second on the floor. Anyone wishing to speak to that motion? Anyone else wishing to speak to that motion, I should say? From the dais or again from the audience? Hearing none. Seeing no requests on the motion as presented, offered, and seconded, Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
John Cummings.
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Question about the motion. The motion is to pass the ordinance as it stands.
As presented, correct.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
That's five.
Alderman Hill.
Alderman Hill has recused himself.
But he's still in the part of the quorum, so I think his name has to be called.
Would the clerk call Alderman Hill's name?
Sam Hill.
Well, no, you can't.
You can't vote. No, you have to state your recusal. Just state your recusal again, just for the record.
I'm recused.
Mr. City Attorney, we have 5 affirmative votes, 1 nay vote, and 1 recusal.
Mr. Mayor, his recusal, I think, could be treated as an abstention, but I think we can ask the mayor to vote because half the aldermen have voted in favor of the proposal.
I will vote aye.
In that case, the motion would, the ordinance would be approved.
The ordinance as presented is approved. And Mr. Unch, just for tactical purposes, the effective date of this ordinance would be? 2022.
The effective date is upon passage of the ordinance by the City Council. We have looked at implementation of this. If you're at all interested in the approach taken here with implementation, if I can find my notes. We are looking at informing property owners and bin operators of their standing in terms of the ordinance, the fact that they will need to apply for a permit to place the bins on property. They will be notified that their bins are in violation without a permit authorized by the city, and we expect to issue those letters later this week. We will then be contacting them, if we do not hear back from them, on the permit request by December 1st of this year. And as we typically do with violations, we will also contact them on January 1st if we still have not received a response and a valid permit application. If they do remain unresponsive, summons to appear before the adjudication hearing officer will be mailed on January 11th.
Questions for Director Unch, Alderman Singer, then Mrs. McKittrick?
Yes, thank you. Dick, the petition will go into effect, and the fee is for a yearly basis.
That's right, it's a yearly permit.
So the petitioner for requesting the bin to be functional would then begin operating on the first of the month?
Well, as soon as the permit is issued, these will be annual permits that will be issued each January 1st or thereabouts, each year.
Each year at that date? Mm-hmm. Is that January 1st date would be the date of renewal?
Well, it would be the date that they would be required to have a permit filed and issued. So there'll be some lead time leading up each year to January 1st.
Okay, yes. Good. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, Mrs. McKittrick, excuse me.
Thank you. I just wanted to actually clarify that point, that the permitting system for these donation boxes will be on a calendar year rather than our normal fiscal year.
Okay.
So the permits will be issued and effective January 1st through December 31st of each year. That's all. I just wanted to clarify. Thank
now,
you.
Now, if someone would decide to have a donation box on March the 1st, would that fee be prorated or?
No.
Just an annual fee?
No. It's an annual fee.
Okay.
Scouts, you look bored. Several of the dads out there said, Mr. Burns, please don't call up the scouts till after everyone else has spoken, because they wanted you guys to truly earn your keep. So now we have the pleasure of introducing the community to these fine look at the guy in the first
one.
Yeah,
I know.
That's awesome. Brenda, get a picture of this guy in row first row, seat 3, right there. He looks like your former editor, just kind of completely out of it. We have a special guest with us tonight, sir. The podium is yours, and these gentlemen are here for a reason this evening. Right, guys? Oof, man, I guess so.
My name is John Pettit. I'm the Cubmaster of PAC 137 out of Williamsburg School in Geneva. I'm lucky to be the also be the den leader of these fourth-year Cub Scouts. They're called Weeblo Ones. They have one more year of Cub Scouts, and then they'll advance into a Boy Scout troop. So we're here tonight because we've been working on our citizen activity badges. This is the final activity that the boys have to do for that. Leading up to this, we learned about our rights as citizens, how we can be good citizens. We did a service project. We learned about the flag and the national anthem. And tonight we're here to learn about government a little bit. So, Mr. Mayor, I was hoping that you would present
I'd be honored to.
Activity
pins
to the boys that have finished the work.
So you saved the most painful process to last, huh?
Of course. You get a pin them on them all.
This is always my favorite part of Cub Scouts. So.
I just have to see your reaction to that. We can move this out of the way if you like. Remember, gentlemen, you're on television. And most likely YouTube if you, force around. Check this out. Oh, he's not. Carson's not here?
Carson's short.
That's a cool name, man. These are cool pins. Will
Ramage.
Where's Will? Do I get to pin these on to it?
Oh, he left them off easy.
Take mercy on
the camera. So Justin Bieber got started. Logan May. How are you, Dad? How old are you? 9. When's your birthday? August 11th. That's cool. Mine's August too. So are you a Virgo?
Maybe.
Virgos are usually known for short responses. So you probably are. Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for taking some valuable time out of your evening. Matt Sterna. Matt, how are you? Congratulations. How old are you? How much are you? Oh, dude, man, just last week. Wow, did you have a party? Was it really? Hey, you had your chance. Hold on. Boys and girls invited? Sean Chalmers. You've got a hat like him. How old are you? 9. So your birthday is probably not until what? September? March. So you'll be 11? It's amazing. The city's in the black, isn't it? That's for you. Are you related to Marie Chalmers, by any chance? Is that your grandpa? No. No, we've done the research on you. It's not your grandpa. Steven Dunham. Is it Dunham? Dunham. This was the guy we were talking about. You were sitting like this, right? Wow, is this your dad?
Yeah.
This is the first of many embarrassing moments. Yes. December 6th is your birthday? What happened on December 6th in history, do you know? You know, I was just curious if you knew. You were born, that's cool. I like your style, too. I like that. Very Oscar Madison. No, he looks good, man. I like it. That's for you. Go research your Oscar Madison. John Pettit. All right, handsome. Did you enjoy when the sister and all her friends came over to the party?
Yeah.
Why not? Why not?
Because they defend themselves. And they were crazy.
Crazy. I think girls are smart.
No, they couldn't even resist the
Thank you very much. How about a big hand for these guys? Be sure to tune in and watch yourself. If you want a DVD of the meeting, they're $100 each.
Didn't that little guy in the second row get one?
Right, Mr. Lynch?
Yep.
Made payable to the mayor.
No sign, Mr. Lynch.
He didn't finish his
Oh, that could be too.
Gentlemen, any questions about what you've witnessed here this evening, or moms and dads? Anything at all?
We're always recruiting. Just give me a call.
He's talking to you, Mr. Cummings.
I remember being a Weeblo.
You were a Weeblo? Really? Now, how many stars were on your flag when you were a Weeblo?
48. I'm much too older, 2 years older than you.
Oh, are you sorry? You're 50 years old? Holy moly. I understand. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us tonight. It's now come to that ever so special moment that we ask for an adjournment of the meeting. But just think, guys, in 9 years, you're going to be 18 years old, most of you. Guess who turns 18 this week? Intellectually, maybe, but my nephews, Pat and Ted Cascaden, turned 18 years old, which is why we hired a new police officer last week. Right. Well, they celebrate this Thursday, their 18th birthday. On the 18th, their golden birthday. Their moms and dads, or their mom and dad, are going to buy them each a Range Rover? No?
I don't think so.
No, sorry. A Chevette, probably. So, but happy birthday to Pat and Ted.
Sir, ask the boys what are the most important things they can.
Yeah, what is the most important thing you can do when you turn 18? Yes, sir. Vote. Very good. What do you have to do before you vote?
Yeah, you have to turn 18 before you can vote.
I like it. You have to also register, right?
Yeah, you have to register.
No, you also have to turn 18 too.
Yeah. Are you guys close friends or no?
Yeah.
Are you?
Best of friends.
Best of friends.
You also turn 18?
Well, entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second.
Alderman Marks makes the motion. Alderman Singer makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The meeting is over. The cameras are off, as are the microphones. Aye.